I appreciate that hearty welcome, and you can be seated. The Lord bless you. Jesus said, in that you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And having the respect for the minister, the way that you do, that shows that you have that kind of respect for God. You know, you can't love God any more than you love your brother, and you can't respect God any more than you respect your brother. Just according to the love that you have for your fellow man, that's the way you love God. Jesus said one time, how can you love God whom you've not seen when you don't love your brother whom you have seen? You know, I feel that here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, that there's going to be a lot of people judged by that one thing in the day of the judgment. I come here as a brother, but if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how are you going to love God whom you've not seen? So then I come here as a brother and offered love to the brotherhood and have expected love in return. And out of some I have received love, and out of some I have not received love. Therefore, in that you do it to the least, and I'm less than nothing, I'm less than the least. So I say that I appreciate that hearty welcome tonight, and it's my privilege and pleasure to be here and have opportunity to talk to God's people. I think there's some wonderful people in Jeff. I have been here now for a number of days, and I have found that there's some very beautiful people here in Jeff. They love Jesus. They are very wonderful people. They have appeared to be people with a reservation of heart. I'll have to say this. They have had the greatest reservation of heart of any people that I have ever dealt with in my life. Not to the extent of having a critical spirit or to war against me, but rather to relinquish in their spirit in the sense of commitment or submitting themselves under the ministry or leadership to them that they are not acquainted with. And this has made it very difficult to be able to do very much. But knowing the circumstances and knowing the environment of Jeff and the different, having so many different churches and doctrines and belief, and seems like Jeff is kind of the crossroads of the world. And everything comes through here and everybody comes through here. And they tell me that they have just about everything coming through Jeffersonville, Indiana. So I could readily understand why that there might be a problem with reservation of heart. But I noticed in the last two or three services that the people have begun to break down the resistance and take out the barrier that's between us and submit themselves unto the ministry, and they have been a lovely audience. And we've been able to preach a little bit to the audience since we've been here. We have tried for quite a number of nights to minister, but we've only been able to exhort a little bit. But one or two nights we have been able to preach just a little bit of the Word of God and maybe talk about just a little bit of the mysteries of Christ. But it's a real privilege to be here and have people to come to be with us. If we had all the people that had come to the tent, that is to say, having such a great turnover, if we had all the people that have been here at one time or another, we would have a real tent full of people, because we have had a lot of new faces and we have reached a lot of people in this area. The TV stations and different ones that carried the meeting has added to it. They have not been critical. They have added to the meeting. We have had newspaper write-ups and college write-ups that has contributed to the success of our ministry, that's been very kind to us. We have had some that has been critical, and we've had front page write-ups of the biggest papers in the world and some of the most outstanding TV programs and audience in the world. Now, but here in Jeff, they have been very nice to us and been very little criticism. And I noticed today that there was in the Louisville Times that they gave us a whole page spread in the Louisville Times concerning the meeting here in Jeff. And they had a big picture of the tent. I'm sure that most of you saw it. And almost the entire page was covered with the revival. But we thank the Lord because the article was very good. The man was not critical. The writer was not critical. He seemed to be very appreciative of what we were doing. And we appreciate the Indiana Times or Louisville Times for their courtesy toward God. And God certainly will be considerate of them and of the writer, Paul Schumann, I believe it was. Now, I'm here tonight to represent Jesus, and I know you're here tonight to represent Jesus, and we're here to do what little we can. We're just a little tiny speck in the universe, and we're so small that we're just nothing at all in the sight of God. But through Jesus Christ, in that he hath become heir to the glory of God, we become so big that when God looks down, he can't see anything but us, because we become bone of the bone and flesh of the Son of God, which is the apple of his eye, the thing that he beholds all the day long, as we say. That which is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And so then it is such a privilege to be here tonight and know that God is smiling upon us and know that God loves us. Now, there is so much that I would like to say to the people here until I don't know where to start. I come up here and my heart is filled with so much until when I get ready to minister, I think, dear God, where can I start? What can I say? There is so much that I need to say and want to say until I don't know which way to start to be able to say it, because I am so limited. There's one other thing I noticed about the people of Jeff, and that is when they turn on, as the world says, all of them turns on, and when they turn off, all of them turns off. They all go on at one time and they all go off at one time. And if they never have any more coordination one with another than that, they at least got that much coordination. So I have to be sure that I don't take too long, because they just turn off on me right in the middle of my subject and they just won't spark up anymore at all. So if I'm not through, I'm just not through. That's all there is to it. And that makes it real difficult for me to be able to get across my thought to them. I wish I could get across my thought, but it's a little difficult to do that. Now, I want to read just a little bit. I've got about two or three subjects tonight that I'd like to deal with, and I know that's impossible. You can't do that. You'd only confuse the people. So you have to try to deal with one subject and be as explicit in it as you can. And while you're doing that, try to introduce one or two other things to the audience that you might enlarge upon later. And as I say, I've not been able to do much since I've been here as far as really preaching what's on my heart. I've spent so much time exhorting until I've not been able to really preach like I would like to. And in these last few nights, I was certainly hoping to be able to take a little time and minister. But whether I get to or whether I don't, I just like to say what little I can. And whatever I'm able to say to you, well, I trust that it will do some good. I think I'll read a little bit from the book of Genesis tonight, over in the 37th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. The 37th chapter, the first verse. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dream and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of this of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelite, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Mennonite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. And evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Now, that's reading quite a bit of the scripture tonight. I wanted to read just a little scripture. I like to read a lot of scripture. Back at home, I read quite a bit of scripture to my people, because a lot of people, they never read the Bible, and the only scripture that they ever hear is when they go to the house of God. And if the minister doesn't read to them, then they just don't have any real scripture reading. I love to say I appreciate Brother Woods giving me this little Bible stand. It's certainly an excellent little thing. We have a big one they didn't bring, and this one is certainly handy for the purpose here in the tent. And I appreciate it so much. Now, we see here a beautiful thing that God is showing in the life of Christ. I'm sure that you that are Bible scholars, and you that love the Lord, that you understand what the Lord is trying to say to us through the life of Joseph. You know, we read back in the Old Testament concerning the patriarchs of old, and we read the life of Joseph. We read about all these wonderful things about Abraham and Elijah and Moses and these different things back there concerning the law and about Noah and Enoch. And we fail to realize that God didn't just do those things for naught. We fail to realize that God had a purpose in doing those things, and that in establishing all of this great history of these people, or bringing a historical record to our mind, or establishing this thing for our benefit, that God did it for one major reason, and that is to highlight the life of Christ and to later bring to our minds and program our minds with the wonderful power of deliverance that God the Holy Spirit is able to supply in our lives. And so then we look back on all these things, and we're told by the writers of the New Testament that these things happen for our admonition. And these things happen for our example, we the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And so then when we think of all of these wonderful things, we try to fathom the great depths of what God was saying to us through the life of these great, wonderful people of the Old Testament. When we think about the life of Joseph, I think the life of Joseph is one of the most spectacular things in the whole Bible as far as the reading of the Old Testament. I think it is one of the most interesting stories because it foretells the life of Christ so completely. Joseph, who was born among 12 brethren. Joseph, who had a good spirit. And Joseph, who had the love of God apparently in his heart. Joseph, who did not try to bother anybody nor cause anybody any trouble. He was someone that wanted to do the right thing. He did not want to hate his brethren, nor find fault with his brethren, but rather he wanted to fellowship his brethren, and he wanted the love of his brethren. But his brethren did not want to fellowship him, and his brethren did not want to love him. Now, why was it that they did not want to fellowship Joseph? And why was it that they did not want the love of Joseph? There has to be a reason why that they would love one another and separate themselves from Joseph the way that they did. The reason that they would not love Joseph and fellowship Joseph was all because of Joseph's dreams. Joseph had dreams, and when Joseph would dream, he would tell his brethren about the dream. And in all of his dreams, it always gave Joseph the preeminence.
And so then, of course, the other brethren always resented Joseph because it made Joseph appear to be the one in preeminence. And nobody likes the idea of anybody else ruling over them. But you know, that is one of the worst mistakes that a person can make. Did you know that? One of the worst mistakes that an individual can make is not to want anybody else to have any power or authority or leadership or rule over them. Isn't that right? We should never come to the place to where we do not want people to have any leadership, ruling power, or authority over our lives. So then, when we realize this, then we're getting in good shape. These brethren that were so resentful, these brethren that hated Joseph so much, their war was not against Joseph, because Joseph could not help what he dreamed. Joseph could not help what he was put in the world for. How could Joseph be blamed for that which God had created him for? It was the act of God. God had made Joseph. God had put Joseph in this world. It was the act of God in Joseph's life that he dreamed these dreams. Joseph did not make up these dreams, nor could he help himself dreaming the way that he did. He could not make the dream give somebody else the preeminence. It was ordained of God that in the dream he had the preeminence. He only related what God had showed him in the dream. Now then, these brethren were very foolish. A lot of people today are very foolish. These brethren, all they could picture in their minds was that here is someone that just wants to be the big boss. Here's someone that just wants to lord over us. Now remember this, folks. God doesn't want anybody lording over his people. Did you know that? You should have enough Bible knowledge, enough Bible understanding, and I should have enough Bible knowledge and enough Bible understanding to never resent the superior leadership of God in the earth. For we should know to begin with that God hath not ordained anybody to be lord over his heritage. He warns the ministry to take the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost hath made ye overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. And he warned them, saying, not as lord over God's heritage, and not for money or filthy lucre. He said, but as an example unto the flock. The people should know that God loves them enough that he's not going to let anybody lord over them, because we have one Lord, even Jesus. We have one God, even our Heavenly Father. So then, the patriarchs of old were very foolish. They did not try to understand. They did not try to reason the thing out. They were full. They had plenty to eat. There was no problems with them. Their little ones were fed to the full. But God, being the great God that he was, looking down through the telescope of time, he knew that there was going to be a famine in the land. And he knew that these brethren were going to come to a hard place in life. And he knew with the kind of spirit and the kind of attitude that they had, that they were going to be on starvation, and he had to have somebody with the right attitude that he could bless to be able to feed the people. You love Jesus? There was nobody in all of the land that he could use. Nobody. Jacob, which was a great leader, had already waxed old. There was not one among the 12 that had the right attitude that God could use. Benjamin being the youngest coming along. Not one of them could be used out of all of the land of Egypt, out of all the land of the earth. God could not find one person with the right kind of spirit that he could work through, that he could do the divine work through, that he could bring the divine understanding through, or that he could bring that wonderful anointing through that could foresee the future, that could understand spiritual things, and could know the act of God that could be relative to the Holy Spirit, that he might advise the people and preserve posterity in the earth. So then they were very foolish. They didn't understand. Joseph was only relating to them the wonderful act of the Almighty God to let them know the love of God. Joseph's dreams was nothing more than the wonderful love of God toward them and their children. You say, but Brother Pike, God didn't have to let there be a famine in the land. I know that God did not have to let there be a famine in the land, but inasmuch as sin is in the world, then that means there has to be something in the natural that's typical or symbolic to show sin and the curse of sin and the starvation of humanity being cut off, that is, from the bread of life. Everywhere it has to be shown in the natural. When you look overseas, over yonder, a lot of those little children we're trying to feed, we're trying to send food and clothing over there to them. Why are they hungry tonight in India and the different parts of the world? Don't you know that God could rain bread down out of heaven and feed them little fellas over there? But if God did that, there would be no types, no shatters, no typical thing in the earth to show the starvation of spiritual lack in the earth. Did you know that? There has to be a natural lack in the earth to show the spiritual lack in the earth. As in heaven, so in earth. God, who is a spirit, does everything in the natural to show a spiritual condition. Therefore, the poor will never cease out of your land, the Bible tells us. Because there always has to be some poor, hungry, starving people in the natural to show that there are some poor, hungry, starving people in the spiritual. There always has to be somebody that is naturally starving to death to show that somebody is going to spiritually starve to death. Therefore, that's why that they cannot eradicate hunger from the earth. Did you know the way to get rid of hunger? It's not for us all to get together to try to feed them. You'll never get rid of it like that. You'll never get rid of it like that. You may say, well, we'll get together and we'll teach them how to plant crops. You'll never get rid of it like that. You can take the medical profession and do all you want to try to get rid of disease. But my brother, the Bible says there'll come a day when there'll be no healing medicines. You'll never get rid of it like that. You know how to get rid of poverty in the earth? You know how to get rid of sickness in the earth? Get everybody right with God. Get everything spiritually right, and everything naturally will show up right. Did you know that? Look back yonder in the garden. As long as Adam and Eve was upright on their axes, as we say, as long as they was walking upright, the world was upright. Isn't that right? But the very minute that Eve got tilted and Adam got tilted, the world had to be tilted on its axes. Isn't that right? The natural, the physical, and the spiritual has to run along together. They have to all run along together. They have to parallel together. When Adam got out of sauce and Eve got out of sauce, then the world had to get out of sauce. What's going to make everything get straightened out is when humanity gets straightened out. You know, in the book of Revelation, John over there, when he said, I looked and I saw the cities of the world crumble. I saw these great earthquakes. I saw the islands move out of their places. You know what's going to do that? I know it relates to the bombing. I know it relates to the nuclear powers, because God's going to use that, just like he used the flood to help tilt the thing. But God is going to use the nuclear powers to tilt it the other way. But brother or sister, what John saw was nothing less than the world coming upright. That's all he saw. That's all he saw. Because the world being tilted this way, it means there's some islands and some mountains that's up out of the water that should be under the water. but they're up out of the water because the world is tilted. But just as quick as God gets man upright and the church is raptured out of here, then everything is upright. The world has got to come upright, because everything spiritually and naturally has got to run along together. And just as quick as the church gets upright, God's Adam gets upright, all of a sudden comes the world upright. And those that was down in the ocean going to come up. And that's what's going to bring the millennium. All of that land that's been fertile down there, all that land that's been hid away under the ocean, it's going to be so fertile that people can eat and have a glorious time when God brings in that great restoration of this earth down here. My, what a day, what a time, what an hour it's going to be. That's what caused the earthquakes. That's what caused the problems. John saw the whole earth go into a convulsion. You say, but Brother Pike, don't he have to wait until the sinners get upright? God doesn't have to wait on them. See, it was the Son of God that got tilted. Are you listening now? It was the Son of God that got tilted. The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. It was that part of the Son of God, which was the woman, the fleshly part, the bodily part. My spirit is the Son of God's not tilted. David said, my heart is perfect before God. It's my ways that don't please God. Paul said, I see another law in my members, that is in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my body or in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? All right, so then we see it was Eve. It was the bodily part. The woman represents the body. The Bible said the man was not in the transgression, but the woman, which means Jesus was not in the transgression, but the church. But the man had to endure the briars and the thorns of Calvary to make a living for the woman, that he might give her the bread of life. Isn't that right? That's where the problem comes in tonight. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, whenever man, the Son of God, gets upright, whenever the sons of God gets upright, it won't matter about the rest of them. You say, but Brother Pike, why doesn't it matter about the rest of them? Because the rest of them are beast. The rest of them are beast. The beast in the garden didn't have anything to do with the world being tilted. God didn't tilt it because of the beast. It wasn't the beast that sinned. It was truly the beast that was turned into a serpent to crawl on his belly. One, that one act of God that Satan got into. But see, God did not charge the beast with that. God didn't charge the beast with that. Is that right? That was the act of Lucifer. But God does charge the sons of God with it. He does charge mankind with it, because we know better than to do it. Beasts don't know no better, but we know better, children of God. So then when we get upright, our world comes upright. And glory to God, when our world comes upright, we're going to have a millennium. We're going to have the restoration of this earth. Somebody say, Brother Pike, I'm waiting for that new world to come. I'm waiting for that new earth to come. Don't you know there's going to be a restoration before that new earth ever comes in? How do you know there's going to be a restoration of this earth before that new one ever gets here? There's got to be a restoration of this one before that new earth ever comes in. That eternal earth, that one that New Jerusalem's going to set down on. My brother, there has to be a restoration of this very one that you're walking on. Everything has to be restored back like the garden. And it has to be 1,000 years. 1,000 years of living here in this present world. You know, that's where we get mixed up. You know, we say, when Jesus comes back, that's the end of the world. But what are you going to do with the fact that Peter said, you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come? Did you know that when the flood came, that was the end of the world? Is that right? Was that the end of the world? Is that the end of the world? The Bible said in the old world passed away. And then when Calvary come, that was the end of the world. But Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. And so when Jesus comes back, it's the end of the world. But that still doesn't stop things from going on. See, there was from Noah 2,000 years. From Adam to Noah, there was to Calvary, 2,000 years from Notre Calvary. There is on over from Calvary to the coming of the Lord, the millennium, 2,000 years. We use the term 6 days of God's labor. And then come that beautiful day of rest. That millennium wherein God rested from all of his work. Isn't that right? A beautiful, wonderful time of restoration. When all of the birds will be singing. When nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And the Bible said the wolf shall lay down with the lamb. Isn't that right? All going to lay down together. The leopard and the kid will lay down together. The bear and the cow will lay down together. And the lion and the ox shall eat straw together. And the Bible teaches that little suckling over there, he'll play over there on that cockatrice den. And that weaned child, they'll play over there on the den of that has the deadly sting, and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Lucifer will be bound for 1,000 years. We'll have the radiance of health such as you've never known. There won't be any sickness. Why? Man won't die. Man won't die. Why will man have to die? I said the other night, I preached on eternal life. Having eternal life. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, this body just wears out. You just got to look at it like that. This thing just wears out. Why come Enoch didn't wear out? He was bone and flesh too. Why come his didn't wear out over 300 years? Why come Adam's didn't wear out over 900 years? All right, let's think. Why didn't their body wear out? God didn't make it to wear out. There's nothing about it that should wear out. Glory to God, he didn't make his body to wear out. He made this thing to last eternally. Hallelujah. If Adam and Eve had stayed in the garden, there wouldn't have been no problem. They'd have lived on eternally. How do you believe that? I want to say this. You might disagree with me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Adam and Eve did not have eternal life. I said that the other night. Adam and Eve did not have eternal life. They were in the presence of eternal life and could have lived eternally if they had abode within the presence of the Shekinah. But they could be enticed out from under the light, led out into the darkness. And so they were by Satan and by Lucifer. Isn't that right? And so they were. But did you know tonight that you're born to the Shekinah glory of God? And did you know that you cannot be led out, that you have eternal life? Satan cannot lead you out of the presence of God. Satan cannot take away your eternal life. Did you know that? You say, but they had eternal life. If they had eternal life, how could they die? No one can die with eternal life. The fact that they died proved that they don't have eternal life, or they didn't have eternal life. All you've got to do is stop and reason for just a minute. Use just good common sense and understanding. That it is a proven fact that if they'd have had eternal life, they could not have died. Because eternal living means to never die. Amen. Somebody said they had eternal life but lost it. That don't make sense. Now think it over. Somebody said, I'm giving you an eternal blessing. But you just lost it. What's eternal about it? I'm giving you an eternal automobile. It'll last eternally. Something happened, it blowed up. What's eternal about it? Oh, brother, you know that don't make sense. They were in the presence of it. But brother, that second man, Adam, you that are born of God, you that are born of the Spirit of God, I want you to know tonight that you have eternal life. Satan can't entice you out from under it. There can't be nothing laid to your charge. There is no way that you can ever die. You pass from death unto life. You'll never come into condemnation because you have eternal life. You understand what I'm saying tonight? So then God has fixed this thing to where the entire world is fixing to turn upright. And that body that he gave to Adam and Eve, he's going to give you back that glorious body. That garden that he had over there, he's going to make this world back into that glorious garden. And for 1,000 years, he's going to prove that his creation is not inferior to the powers of death and sickness. He's going to prove to mankind that it wasn't God's inferiority, that it wasn't God's weakness, that it wasn't some fallacy on God's part, but it was ours. When we fail to walk upright, when we fail to believe, when we fail to have faith in God, when we fail to live an overcoming life, God's going to show us that that's what it was all about, that it was man. And that when we do right, that our world will be beautiful. Our life will be beautiful. You love Jesus? Praise God. You know, you get to talking a little loud and you feel people throwing brakes and throw it in the gear and say, bless God, don't holler at me. God have mercy on your soul. You need somebody to holler at you. Anybody like that needs somebody to holler at them. It's the others that don't need them to do it. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people of their sins. If it don't sound like a trumpet, pray for me and I'll get it up there to where it does. Said they delight to know me, and they come unto me as a people that delight to know me, saying that we fasted and we prayed and we've kept thy commandments, O God. And they come into my presence as those that have kept my word and delight to know my ways. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But folks, we need the ministry to preach the gospel to us. We need God's word. We need to get off of that old haughtiness of ours. Lay that old devil spirit aside, that old haughty spirit, that old resentment, that old jealousy. We're in a war with devils, and we need to get under the command and leadership of the Holy Ghost. And we need to drive forth into battle, and we need to sweep the world for God. Hallelujah. Now then, let's look at it just a little more. Here the world is upright. If it come upright, then we have a millennium. What caused that? Because when man got tilted, he sinned against God. He got tilted on his axis. He wasn't upright anymore. All of his environment had to be tilted. Then his environment wasn't upright anymore, children of God. It got tilted. But if man ever gets upright in his spirit, then his physical being will become upright and he'll have perfect health. Then his world will become upright and he'll have perfect vegetation, perfect environment, perfect surrounding. There won't be earthquakes and storms and tornadoes and heartaches and cold and all of this misery that we have to put up with. There won't be cancer and TB and paralysis and problems and all of these things we're having to put up with. When we get our spirit right, there won't be evil powers and demon oppressions and these curses that rest upon us that torment us day and night. We won't have to put up with those kind of things. All because we get upright. You say, Brother Pike, how can we get upright? By doing the very thing that Eve failed to do. She did just opposite of what we need to do. The word of God said, don't eat thereof. Eve violated that word. Now the word of God is speaking to you, and all you got to do is honor that word. Eve disbelieved that word and she died. You believe that word and you can live. Because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. By faith the just shall live. Did you know that faith is a lifeline? That when Eve sinned against God, she severed her lifeline between her and the Spirit? But when you believe in God, that's your lifeline. Hallelujah, the Spirit will come to you. And it'll connect you up with God. It'll connect. Somebody said, well, you don't have to get so excited, Brother Pike. How in the name of reason can you help but get excited? God people go out to the ball game and just about stand on their head. And we're talking about God, the creator of heaven and earth. And we talk about not getting excited. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, if we get excited, somebody will say we're a bunch of fanatics. They tell me a fanatic is somebody that believes something so strong that he believes everybody else ought to believe it. I guess I'm a fanatic. I believe it's so strong, I believe all the world ought to believe it. Praise God. So then, here we see the great garden coming in. See the beauty and the radiance of man being upright. My, what health, what happiness, what hope, what strength, all because you listen to the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word said, let there be, and there was. And wherever the Word is, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wherever the Word is, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you've got the Word of God, all you've got to do is put faith in the Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever to every generation. It did not profit the Jews because it was not mixed with faith. But oh, my brother, sister, we can mix faith with it today. And it's still the power of creation. It's still that creative Word. It's still that healing Word. It's still that delivering Word. It'll meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory if we'll just place faith in that Word. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? So then, Joseph, you had a dream. What kind of dream? I dreamed it was harvest time. God trying to provide. But they were jealous. Look how they sold him into bondage. Look how they put him down there in a prison. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus? Isn't that a beautiful picture of the church today? The world doesn't want the church. The church is always talking about their spiritual revelation. They say, we had a dream. What kind of dream did you have, church? Well, we're the sons and daughters of God. And God said, we're going to take over this world. And all you dignitaries is going to have to do opposites unto us. We don't like you. We're going to cut you off from our system and our social affairs. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And down goes Joseph to the pit. Down goes Joseph to the pit. But glory to God, there's victory in the pit. Hallelujah. God's got power in the pit. Hallelujah. I said here one night, the other night when Daniel got down there with them lions, while them lions thought the millennium had set in. Nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. While they lost their appetites. Old Daniel down there, they thought the millennium had set in and they didn't even try to bother him. Everything was at peace. You know why? Because Daniel bound the devil. He didn't bind him for 1,000 years, but he bound him for that night. Long enough to take care of them lions. Hallelujah. Praise God. So then Joseph went into the pit. But I want you to get a picture of this now. When he went into the pit, along they come and pulled him out. Down he went and was sold down here into slavery. The man prospered. Old Potiphar, he prospered. There wasn't long before Joseph was around in the house. The man was prospering. You know something? Listen, folks. When you take a little person over here that's hungry, when you take a person that's needy over here, and you go to take care of those people, did you know God will bless you? The Bible said when you take the poor into your house and the naked into your house and you clothe them that's in need, your health will return unto you speedily, and the Lord shall say, here am I. And I will be your reward. Did you know America's sick tonight because they won't share? They're selfish. They're greedy. The Bible said greedy dogs that never get enough. But when you share with the needy and the poor, the Bible said pure and undefiled salvation of religion before God is, and the Father is this, that you visit the orphans and the widows in their afflictions and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. When you take care of the needy, when you share with the needy, you'll get rid of all them sicknesses. You'll get rid of all them problems when you start sharing your substance. But you hoard your substance and you're going to suffer because they're suffering. The Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over to put in the bank. I said, he that gathered much had nothing left over. And the Bible said, he that gathered little, that is, he that labored in the mission fields, or he that's over yonder that can't make it, had no lack because your abundance made up for his shortage. You follow me? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And they said, Paul, be careful to remember the poor. He said, this we were careful to do. All right. bride. So pure and undefiled religion is going to get us to heaven is what? Visiting the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. And then what else, children of God? Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Come out from the world. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things. And I will receive you, saith the Lord. For if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. All right. So they throwed him in the pit, but they got him out. It wasn't long before here he was in the house. You're going to give me a few minutes to preach tonight. All right, here he was in the house. I ain't even got started good yet. When he got in the house, here he was roaming to and fro in the house. And you know there's always an old harlot somewhere. I want you to listen now. An old whorish man, an old whorish woman, the world is full of them. The whoremonger and the harlot. The Bible speaks of them. God said he'd put them in hell. He said, this is the kind that won't enter into the city. The one thing that God hates is the harlot because it reminds him of the unclean church. And the whoremonger reminds him of Lucifer. Isn't that right? Always bringing bastard children into the world without a name, without a father, without protection. Isn't that right? God hates that kind of thing. And here Joseph was down there, done the best he could, trying to be honest, trying to be straight, trying to be right, trying to do the right thing. And one day he had something he had to do in the home. He was trying to take care of it, and here was the man's wife. And she started to talking to Joseph and plaguing Joseph and wanting to talk with Joseph. And Joseph kept pushing her aside and said, I got things I got to do. I want to be loyal to my master. But she said, Joseph, we can talk a little bit. It won't hurt nothing. So Joseph, he talked a little bit with her. And the first news you know, she wanted to go a little farther and a little farther and a little farther till she got beside herself. And then the old corrupt passions begin to take over. And she began to admire the youth of Joseph. And she wanted to lay her hands on Joseph. And the devil stirred up her passions. And then she wanted to intermingle and get into the hog pens. The Bible said the swine go back to their wallowing in the mire and the dog to his vomit. So then she laid hands on Joseph. And Joseph said, no. Said, I'm a clean man. I'm a holy man. I work for my master. I'm trying to do the right thing. No, I'm not going to be evil, and I'm not going to deceive my master. I'm not going to do it. So he turned to leave, and she, being enraged in anger, grabbed his garment in Joseph before he would be defiled before God and deceive his master. The Bible said he rent himself loose from her and tore his clothes loose and left them hanging in her hand, and out the door he went. And she was so mad, and she was so angry because she couldn't satisfy her wretched passions. You know, the world is just like that. Isn't that right? Wretched passions, if you don't let them satisfy their wretched passions, they'll crucify you. So then there it was. She screamed out, and she said, help, help. This man has tried to molest me. This man has attacked me. And in they came. They come to grab Joseph. How could Joseph explain? Who's going to believe it? Why, you know the man's going to believe his wife before he believed Joseph. Joseph didn't have a chance. Isn't that right? Joseph didn't have a chance. You know, that's the way it was at Calvary. When they took Jesus and they put him up there at Calvary, old Pilate come over and said, look, said, why don't you answer me? Don't you know I got power to crucify you or to turn you loose? Jesus said, you couldn't have no power against me if it wasn't given you from God. And said, besides that, he that delivered me unto you hath a greater sin. And they took him out there, and they tried to get him to do what they wanted to do. That old ill-famed woman laid hold on him and said, come on, do the way we want you to do. We won't crucify you. Just take up a little time with us. Come on, church, let's board it up a little bit. You can holler for our team, and we can all get together. We can have a good time. We can mush it up a little bit. Why, they don't think nothing about it in the day we're living in. All the church has got to do is just get a little bit dirty. Just a little filthy in your mind. That's all. Just mush it up a little bit. Come on, ladies. Get on your tight-fitting clothes. Let's dress out in our tight-fitting clothes. And let's all get together now. That's all we got to do. Where's your bathing suits and your shorts? And let's just all live it up. And you men in your pistol-legged pants and get in your tight clothing like you've been melted and poured in them. And let's get out there and holler and roll like a bunch of dogs in the mud out there. And let's live it up in the world. Let's fill our heart full of the filth of the world. Come on, Jesus. Be a part of us. The love of the world's in you. The love of the Father's not there. So she laid hold. But Jesus wrestled. He done like Joseph and he wrestled. And after a while he said, Eli, 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 lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, my God, my God, my God. And he wrestled himself loose and he left his garment hanging in her wretched hands. Before he'd commit harlotry with her, before he'd betray the master, before he'd lose his integrity with God, he left it hanging in her hands and went away. And they took him and they threw him down into the pit. Down he went to the bottom of the pit because he wouldn't commit whoredom with her. Down he went. But you know what? It wasn't long when old brother Joseph got down there until he found favor in the pit. Glory to God, everywhere Joseph went, he found favor. You could sick the dogs on him, as the world says, and you could put the red devils on him and everybody else, but he found favor. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, back home, they call him the Bulldogs. You can say whatever you want to. You can put the world on him. You can put the police on the church. You can put the government on the church, but God is going to have favor, and God's going to give favor to the church. It doesn't matter what you do. They jumped on Daniel and they threw him in the lion's den, and they jumped on the Hebrew children and they threw him in the fire furnace. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. But God gave them favor. Brother, sister, God gave them favor. And soon Joseph had favor. And you know, it wasn't long before he's walking around dangling the keys. Hallelujah. Have you got a few more minutes? He dangled the keys. And after a while, he had a couple of visitors. And here come the baker, and here come the butler. Why, there must have been some more life down there. There he was, that same Joseph down there. And here he done got the keys. He done got the keys. You know, when Jesus stood on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I've got the keys to death, and I've got the keys to hell. Isn't that right? Didn't he say that? He stood there. He done got the keys. They couldn't keep the keys away from him. And there come the butler and there come the baker. Now, you know, in this you can see there's two kind of people that's going to be down there in that pit. Is that right? There's two kind of people that's going to be down there in that pit. It was a butler and it was a baker down there. You know, now we said the other night that God put the old serpent on his belly. Isn't that right? There's the old baker. On his belly, that's all he ever knew in his lifetime. Over that hot, blistering heat, got to feed his belly. That old power of lust and passions now, got to feed his belly. There he was, down in the pit now. But here was that butler that had pressed the blood of the grapes out into that little old container and had delivered them to the presence of his master. And there he was. And they said, we had a dream. And they begin to tell the dream, and I wish I had time tonight to go into it. Step by step, it is so beautiful. But there was, they had the dream. And you remember the vine, and you remember the leaves, and you remember the 3 days, and you remember the baskets, and you remember the birds coming, picking the meat out of the basket. The birds picked the meat out of the basket, left the bones. That was the baker. The butler, it was the vine. It was the berries. It was the grape. Jesus said, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman thereof. You're the ones that bear the fruits of life. Isn't that right? And the Bible said our vines have tender grapes. Joseph knew right away that was a spiritual dream. And he told him, said, about 3 days, you're going to be back in the presence, of your master. And you're going to be doing your job again. He said, what about these three baskets here? What about these birds that took this meat? lift these bones. He said it's the same thing. Jesus down the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. It won't take about 3 days and three nights, and your judgment will be taken care of too. Some of you are going to come out here and go to paradise, but it's going to be whoa, whoa, whoa unto some of you. And he said, they're going to hang you on a tree out there. You know why? He was saying to him, he said, you're under the curse. You're under the curse of the law, and the law's going to hold you to it. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. You didn't accept that than to hang upon a tree. They're going to hang you upon a tree, and the birds are going to eat your flesh off of your bones. But we're bone of his bone, and we're flesh of his flesh. And those evil fowls, Jesus told about it. He said at that supper over there, he said, invite all the fowls of the earth to come to this great supper. And he said, they shall eat the flesh of great men. Brother, sister, and it came to pass. And he brought them out of the dungeon. But Joseph said, when you get out of here, said, be compassionate and remember me. Oh, my brother, sister. The law and the prophets until John Calvary came to pass. We've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and we pass from death unto life. We're no longer in the earth, for he said, I've chosen you out of the earth and hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received and made you to sit together in heavenly places. Now that you're up here, now that you're up here, now that you're free from death, he said, remember me. There, I am sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. I'm hungry and you didn't feed me. There's a lot of members of the body tonight. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He said, remember me. Give a testimony in my behalf. Evangelize, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And remember me and help me get out of this prison. But the Bible said they forgot about him. The church has forgot him tonight. Why is it that we're not talking about the resurrection of Jesus tonight? Why is it that we're not interested tonight in going into all the world? My brother, let me tell you something. We need to get interested in God tonight. And we need to testify of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we need to visit him. And we need to remember him. Because one of these days we're going to look, and he's going to be sitting up there like Joseph was. When Joseph finally come out of that dungeon and he sat up there. And he told that old king the interpretation of his dream. There that great famine came to pass. And the Bible said them same envious patriarchs, them same selfish brethren, they had to come and stand before him just exactly like the dreams was, and they had to bow down to him, and his father also had to bow down to him. There he was. Joseph, despised Joseph. And the Bible said, I lay in Zion a stone that's elect and precious, a stumbling stone of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever falleth upon this stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever it falleth, it shall grind into powder. For he is the cornerstone, and it is the work of God. It is the work of God. The great, wonderful cornerstone tonight. We may do all we want to. We may have governors and we may have kings. We may have parties. We may have ball games. We may have schools. We may have programs. But brother, when it gets to the top, there's but one. That's Jesus Christ. That pyramid's got a capstone coming, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he's the Lord of all lords, and he's the King of all kings. He's the President of all presidents. He's the power and authority of all powers and authorities. And the Bible says over there in the book of Revelation, behold, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. And Joseph was in power, my brother. And the Bible said that this great dearth was throughout all the land, and all of them had to come to him. There was no food or sustenance in all the land. They had to sell everything they had. And they had to come to Joseph. They had to come to Joseph and they had to ask for food. Oh, brother, in that day there'll be no healing medicines. In that day there'll be no healing medicines. You may depend on the doctor now. You may depend on the hospital now. You may depend on the powers of your ingenuity now. But I tell you, the days are getting darker, and in a little while, the Bible said, in that day no man shall save them. No man shall save them. Christ alone shall be exalted. There'll be no healing medicines. So then, we're nearing the shore, beloved friend. We're nearing the hour, we're nearing the day when our glorious Savior shall appear. He's coming. Oh, beloved one, he's coming. Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready to meet him? I want you to stand with me. There's so many things I'd like to say tonight. So many things I'd like to say tonight. But remember, we're all getting down to the end of the way. Jesus is about to break through. Remember, you nor I nor anyone else can offer him anything but the blood. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit when I say that. I feel the precious Holy Spirit when I say that. When I speak that, and I think upon the lovely name of the Son of God, I feel the lovely Holy Ghost just move over me like that. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they said, I will pass through Egypt and smite all the firstborn. If I don't see the blood over the doorpost, I stand at the doorpost and I knock at the heart's door. If you'll open, I'll come in and I'll drink this new wine with you. I'll drink this new wine with you. Oh, brother, sister, let me tell you something tonight. That firstborn is that man that was born to flesh and blood. That firstborn is that one that's born into the world, and you must be born again. You must come up with that secondborn, for as it is written, the elder shall serve the younger. And you must subdue that firstborn. You must subdue that outer man. You must subdue that first birth, because he doesn't have the birthright. He doesn't have the birthright. He sold it for a morsel of bread. But I want you to know that though the first man, Adam, sold it for a morsel of bread, that second man, Adam, old brother Esau lost it, but Jacob clave to it. Hallelujah, he clave to it. And I want you to know tonight that that Jesus on the inside of that new birth and that younger, he's got to get control of that older one. He's got to get control of that outer man. If you don't surrender to him, if you don't give him power and authority, you're going to lose your soul. The only way the blood can be over the doorpost is for you to call upon the name of Jesus. For the Lamb has been killed. The midnight hour is here. And he said, take and eat of my body and drink of my blood. And if you have too much, divide it with the others. Don't let nothing remain till the morning. The morning light's coming of that great millennium day. But in this dark hour of night, he said, take this blood. Take that hyssop that's supposed to cleanse and purge. That's what hyssop was for. Take it and put it over the doorpost. You know what? When you put it here, over the doorpost, and you put it here, over here, on each side, over the lintel, and then when you put it down here for the washing of the feet, you got a beautiful picture of Calvary, isn't that right? If you can just come through the door, he said, I'm the door. I'm the door to the sheepfold. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And he's in remembrance of you. He said, for though a mother forsake her suckling, I will not forsake you. Speaking of the nail prints, I have engraved you in the palms of my hand by way of remembrance that I should never forget you. I will never forget you. I have engraved you in the palms of my hand that I should never forget you. Tonight, while they're playing, I want you to take just a minute or two. And after this, we're going to let you go.
Do we have the one here that was healed the other night? Do we have the sister here that was healed the other night? You here? Huh? Praise God. All right. We'd like to have her testify if she would tonight. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? Can you lift up your hands and praise the Lord? How do you believe Jesus is good? How precious, how lovely, how wonderful. Glory to God, how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How wonderful. Praise God, you're feeling good tonight. Glory to God, I can tell you are. Please, God, just take your time and tell me.
I don't even know how you can
just hold it close.
The other day, Brother Pike prayed for me. I've got cancer. And Monday, I went to see the doctor, and he said that there's no sign that's even in me. He said that if I come back in 6 months, he wants me to have a chest x-ray. But he said that there ain't no sign of it ever been in here.
God bless your heart. Let him get a picture of it. He wants to get a picture of you there. All right. And the Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If they drank any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. Now, how do you appreciate Jesus tonight? I appreciate this young lady coming to us, testifying tonight. You know, when Jesus cleansed the lepers, he looked, all of them didn't get back for the testimony, but the one that got back to glorify God, it pleased him well. Brother JT, it pleases God well for us to turn back and give glory unto God when he does something for us. So tonight I feel the wonderful presence of the Holy Ghost. We're praying for you and we're praying for yours. And I want you to pray with us and pray for us. And I want us to believe together. And brother, sister, what few days that we have left in this meeting here before we go our way to preach the gospel in other places. I want you to work with us. And I want you to pray with us and believe with us, because it could be your life. It could be your brother's life. It could be your daughter's life. This was a young lady here. This is some mother's daughter. Her life is precious to her. I said the other night when I brought her up, and she was very sad, I said, folks, we might be playing, but she's not playing. It's a matter of life and death to her. And I said, with her, she must have help. We must believe. And some of you touch God. She touched God with her faith. And I said, I felt God heal you. And some of you touch God, and she touched God, and we prayed together, and God done the job and healed her body and took away the cancer. All right. Now, as we sing a little chorus, or they play a little something here, I'm going to take just a minute or two and pray for you. I said the other night, we've got a lot of testimonies that we could give you. A lot of testimonies, beautiful testimonies. But I said, I want to see God do something here in Jeff. That's what I want. We've had a lot of wonderful things to happen in Monroe, Georgia, and different places we've been. As a matter of fact, not too long ago in Monroe, they had a boy in the hospital. Spinal meningitis had hit him. And it looked like that there wasn't no hope for him. It looked like it was going to kill him. And the doctors was real disturbed, and they had sent for our prayers. He was a stranger to us. And they sent for our prayers. The people in town, even the merchants, have enough confidence in our people that things happen to them. They get in problems, they send to the church for prayer. But they sent for prayer, and we prayed. And it was while I was riding down the road in my motorhome, I was in the back of the motorhome praying and talking to God. I believe my wife or my daughter was driving the motorhome down the road, maybe on the way to Florida or somewhere to a meeting. And while I was praying, this boy came before me, and I remembered that I was supposed to pray for him. And I began to plead with God and plead with God. And all of a sudden, as I began to plead with God, it was then
that all of a sudden that the Lord came into the little motor home, into the little room, and I felt the wonderful presence of the Almighty God. And I heard something say, "It is done." And I said, "Glory to God, you just healed him, Jesus." And I went and told my wife, I said, "Betty, I said, God healed the boy over at the hospital." And I began to testify to it. And in a day or two, all of a sudden, they said, "The boy is healed. The boy is healed. He's took a change, he's healed." They released him from the hospital, sent him home. He's in good shape, doing fine, and had no more problems. So then, I said that to say this: Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves even you. Hallelujah. So then, while they're playing, I want to pray for these tonight. I'd like for Brother Parnell to come and help me pray tonight, if he would. And Brother Parnell, isn't there another minister or two out there that could help us pray for these people? There's men here that's got faith in God, and I know that they've got faith in God. There's men here in Jeff that's got faith in God. And we appreciate your prayers. Appreciate your support in the ministry of prayer and believing for these people. Now, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Whatever you do, don't doubt. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." Don't doubt. Just believe. Rejoice. The thing that made God glad concerning Abraham, said he's the friend of God because he believed God. Abraham rejoiced, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. If you are fully persuaded, don't be partially persuaded. Be fully persuaded. Rest confidently in the fact that God said it, that God done it. It's at Calvary. It's in the past. It's forever gone. It's forever over. And we are rejoicing forevermore because he loved us so much. It's not by your works of righteousness. It's not by my works of righteousness. It's by his works of righteousness. So that way you can believe. See, if it was by your works of righteousness and my works of righteousness, well, I'd have a hard time believing it because I stumble so much. But since it's by his righteousness, then there's no trouble to believe because he didn't make no mistakes. Isn't that right? He didn't make no mistakes. But after he saves us and heals us, let's go our way and sin no more, lest the worst of thing come upon us. And let's do all we can to serve him. Not that that will give us our healing, but that will let him know how grateful we are for his way of life, that we might be a light and show it to others, that they might see that wonderful virtue of Christ and also want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if there's anybody here that would like to be prayed for, I know that there probably is. Last night I didn't pray for the sick. I missed a couple of nights, and it was two or three people that was disappointed last night. I learned afterwards that they've come just to be prayed for. This brother here came all the way from the Carolinas just to be prayed for. And I noticed there was somebody that left early back here. I guess he got a little disgusted with me and a little discouraged. And he had a little boy with him that I could tell there was something wrong with him. I feel sure he came for prayer. And he must have just got discouraged because I took maybe longer than he thought preaching. But I wish he could have stayed so we could have prayed for the little lad. But nevertheless, we'd like to pray for you tonight. If you want prayer, all you've got to do is come up here. While they're playing, then if you want prayer, I want you to come up here tonight. Would you do that? If you want prayer, just come up here tonight. We're not going to hold you long, but we're going to tarry a few minutes. And we're going to pray for you tonight. We've got our brethren here to help us.
Reach out. Touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find to be.
Can you lift your hands up in love, Jesus? Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead, and he is alive to meet our every need. How precious, how wonderful. You know, I noticed in the paper today
and touch.
I happened to look at the paper Betty had brought one in where they'd give us the big write-up in the paper, and she was showing it to me. I happened to notice in another part of the paper that the little country that had attacked Iran had killed a bunch of their people and wounded some of them. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and He took me back to remembrance. While I was praying over in the night, the Lord spoke to me, and I got up from my knees the next day. I got Brother Taylor, the secretary of our work. We wrote a letter, and I did what the Lord told me. It took quite a bit of money and a lot of trouble, but we got this man a letter. We got the man a letter that's in leadership over there in Iran, and I told him what God said, and I spoke to him in respect, and I said, God said that He respects your office because He ordains leaders, powers in the earth. But He said, if you harm those hostages, if you continue to hold those hostages and do those hostages harm, if you don't do the right thing, He said, I will plow your city like a field. I'll literally wreck what you've got, and I will take your life. And I said, sir, beware, because He will do exactly what He said. The man helped the hostages, and now a little country has moved in on him, and they are tearing that place up, killing people. And you say, well, Brother Pike, that could just happen. But did you know the paper said it's the first time in the history of the world that any nation has ever been attacked and never had any help or support? It has to be the hand of God. Praise God. Let's pray for this brother.
Hearts cry.
Let's just pray tonight. Lift your hands up and let's pray and believe God. Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to stretch forth a healing hand tonight. Father, and heal tonight. God, stretch forth Your hand, Lord, with signs and wonders, giving us the boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ by doing signs and wonders by the hand of Your holy child Jesus, as in the early church. Heal and make well in Jesus' name tonight. Praise God. I feel faith, brother. I feel faith. God bless you.
Just reach
out
and touch the Lord.
For you what?
As
yes, sir. You believe Jesus will make you breathe right? This little boy here, he's got asthma.
There's room.
He said if I pray for him, he believes that God will make him breathe right. How do you believe God will make him breathe right? I'll tell you what, now that's a bad situation when you can't breathe right. I want you to have compassion and believe with all boldness. He said, I believe it. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, Father, heal this little one tonight. Move this interference, God. Heal it tonight. Make it right, Jesus. Open these little tubes up. I feel You doing it right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Is a shelter. Ooh,
I felt that. I believe He done that. You believe He done it? Praise God. I felt that. I believe He done it. How do you believe He done it? I felt that then.
So free.
Praise God.
Is sufficient.
Praise God.
For
was that your little fella?
And
you want these prayed for?
Is its fountain as wide as the sea? There's room at the cross for you.
Okay, let's, which one is it? This one. Okay, let's pray.
There's room at the cross for you.
Let's just pray, brethren.
Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hand to work a miracle, Father. In the name of Jesus tonight, I want the correction of this little foot. I feel you doing something for it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel him doing something for it, little buddy. Praise God. I believe he done something for it, mother. I really do, from the bottom of my heart.
There's
I believe he did.
At the cross for you.
Praise God.
Though many have come, there's still room for one.
God bless you.
There is room.
Let's just lift our hands up and love Jesus. You know, the invisible presence of God, the Bible says concerning the patriarchs of old, it said they, speaking of the patriarchs, speaking of the people of old, it said they endured the hardships, the problems, the heartaches. They endured as seeing him who is invisible. Though he be invisible to your natural eyes, yet they endured as seeing him who is invisible. And Paul said, I serve the invisible God. Though he be invisible to your natural eye, yet when two or three come together in his name, he said, I am in the midst of him. And so he's in the midst of him tonight. Praise God.
My faith.
Can't hear it all. Praise God. Lord God of heaven, in Jesus' name. I believe God done something for them ears, then. I believe God done something for her ears, then. Praise God. You say she can't hear it all.
For such a one as I, at the cross.
You can hear me saying something, I know.
Where I first saw life and the burden.
You believe
of
God done something?
Away.
I felt him do something. Praise God. You love Jesus. God's good, isn't he? He is so good. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless this sister tonight. Stretch forth a healing hand tonight to heal and deliver. Break every yoke. Let the great, wonderful Spirit of the Son of God live and abound in this life. In Jesus' name. I feel you doing it now, Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Praise God, sister. I feel his presence tonight. Hallelujah. I really feel God here tonight. I feel faith here. I feel God doing something. Okay. Father, remember this problem, this brother tonight, as he stands here in his behalf. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel you answering that prayer. In the name of Jesus, Father, heal, forgive, save, deliver. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I feel the quickening power of God here tonight. The Holy Ghost is here tonight, healing. I feel it. Praise God. What is it, sister?
At the cross where I first saw life and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Just lift your hands up and let's pray. Father, Lord of heaven, you're doing something for this sister right now. Her faith has gone out to you already. Father, move every hindrance in this life. Heal tonight and deliver. I want special strength tonight for this vessel. I feel strength going into this body right now.
Here, Lord, I give myself.
Sister, you ought to feel better right now. I felt the strength of God going to you right then and there.
I tell you what, you just see if you don't feel better right now. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hey, this brother's got to have some operations here. He's got to have 3 bypasses. Now, I like to tell this here tonight. Some perhaps have heard me tell it. Well, we prayed for a number of cases, different places where people had to have operations. I remember one case that come to us. They were going to have an operation, and I prayed for them. And I said, now, the Lord healed you. I know that God healed you, and you don't need the operation. But they went on anyway to get the operation. They had the operation, and it came up negative, and they found out they didn't need it. Later on, we had somebody else to come to us. That was a white woman. Then we had a black lady to come to us. I prayed for her and I told her the same thing. I said, now listen. I said, this happened to somebody else. I said, now don't you go make the same mistake. I said, I felt God heal you. She said, I won't make the same mistake. But then when she went her way, she got to thinking. She went to the hospital. She had her operation. It come up negative. Now, I want to pray tonight and believe God that he'll do something for this brother tonight. He's got to have an operation. God is a healer. How many believe it? God is a healer. God is a healer. Let's pray tonight that God will do something for our brother tonight. For your stomach. Okay. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I feel you doing something for him right now. In the name of Jesus. Save, oh God. Forgive of sins. Heal. Deliver. Grant Jesus, I feel you doing it.
Yes, it was there.
In Jesus' name.
I received my sight. And now I am happy.
Have you believed God answered that prayer? I believe he did.
I got just what I wanted.
I believe it. I felt him do something for you, my brother.
I got just what I wanted. Got just what I wanted from the Lord. Oh, I got just what I wanted.
What's wrong with your friend?
I got just what I wanted. Got just what I wanted from the Lord. Deliverance, what I wanted.
Father, Lord, this person that's in the hospital tonight, I want you to go into her room, send the angel of the Lord there, and I want you to do something for her this very night. Let there be a change that even the doctors will notice. Let there be a change that even the doctors will notice. Lord, I feel this brother's faith in behalf of her tonight. Hallelujah. Brother, I felt your faith for
her. I got just what I wanted.
Hallelujah. I felt his faith for
her.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Deliverance.
Praise God. I felt your faith for her. I believe we're going to get a good report from her.
Deliverance.
Hallelujah.
I wanted from the Lord. Deliverance. What I wanted. Deliverance. What I wanted. Deliverance, what I wanted.
Can you talk
to the Lord? And I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. Got just what I wanted from the Lord. Oh, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted.
You know, the Bible said the preparation
got just what I wanted.
Which means God can just touch his heart.
While I was praying,
let's just pray. Y'all pray, brother, with me. Father, you've heard this request tonight. Change that heart. Change that heart tonight. Do something. I feel you're doing something with that heart tonight. Do something with this heart too, Father. Save this soul tonight. Grant it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. praise God. You accept that prayer. I believe he did it for you. I really believe he did it for you. Let's just lift our hands and love the Lord. You know, tonight, I felt faith tonight. I felt people believing with me tonight. Not working against me, but I felt them pulling with me and believing with me tonight. And you know that strength, did you know that? One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. And my, what can we all do when we get together? When we get together, my, we really can do something for God. So I want you to lift your hands up and let's just praise God tonight. Let's just praise the Lord. As our brother Taylor comes tonight to dismiss you, I want us to praise God. But just before he comes, I want to pray for you as the audience. And I want to get the ministers to pray with me tonight. And if you're sick, I want God to heal you tonight. And I want you to come back and let us know if God healed you. I believe God will heal you. Let's lift our hands up and believe together now. If you've got problems, if you've got a loved one that's got problems, if you've got financial problems, if you're physical problems, if you've got spiritual oppression, whatever, God will deliver you tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I stretch out my unworthy hands over this audience. Lord, is the hand of Jesus Christ tonight. Father, being bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, asking you to heal tonight, asking you to forgive tonight, asking you to deliver tonight and make well. May every person be to deliver tonight and every person be healed tonight. Oh God, I ask it in the name of your lovely son Jesus. Father, give a great deliverance. Bless here in this tent and in the remainder of this meeting. Let us gather together from night to night, Father, to see the mighty move of the Spirit. I ask it in the name of your lovely son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you praise him and love him tonight? Thank you.